Hi, I'm Kylie.
And I'm Elliot.
We're hosts of Bad Dad, Rad Dad, a Snack Labs podcast where we look for better dads one movie at a time. Every week, we talk about the movies we watched, the thoughts and feelings they brought up in us, and the best and worst dads we found in them.
Our weekly movie picks can span decades, genres, languages, and more. Plus, we keep it totally spoiler-free so you can discover movies that you want to watch.
So join us every Thursday on our silly little movie journey to hear about the movies we watched that week.
And the dads they made us wish we had. Because
my dad's dead.
And my dad's a deadbeat.
But as far as we're concerned,
not all dads have to be bad.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, baby. Hello, baby.
Hello. I think something really weird is happening.
Oh, no. Not another week of this bullshit.
Okay, wait. Let me try the Ethernet thing. Should we try this again?
Wait, have you not been plugged into the Ethernet?
No.
Oh, for God's sakes. We'll be back.
Okay.
All right, we're back, and Wi-Fi's all fucking figured out. No, you don't have to clap, Bridie. It's all good. yeah. So hey, if you're a patron, if you're not a patron, and you want to see what all the kerfuffle looked like of us trying to figure that out, you can go to patreon.com/turnmeon because it's all videotaped, and it's we're releasing the video versions of our foreplays. But let's try that again. Hi, baby.
Hello, my love.
Let's have another crack at it this week, shall we?
Let's do it.
Cool. Listen, I'm gonna get right to the fucking point here. This thing that we've gotten like a number of emails from about now is really making me it's kind of driving me a bit crazy.
Okay.
We talked about it last week. We had someone write in a while back about how they were thinking that they could potentially get an orgasm by fucking their ear with a Q-tip. Okay. That sounds wild and kind of fun. And in the email that we read, it was like, you know, the person who wrote in was basically saying like, I do the Q-tip thing. But I can feel tingles in my dingles when I jingle my ear. And so they were thinking, could I potentially have an orgasm by this ear fucking going on?
Right.
And we were like, well, we have no idea. And then they wrote us again, like, you know, months later. And this is what we talked about last week on the show. And they were like, you know, they moved on from they haven't been doing the ear thing as much, but now when they scratch their vulva, they feel good in their ear. Right?
The left vulva.
The left vulva, and it goes right. There's like some ear pleasure going on. So it's like, what the fuck is going on, right? So we read this last week. We get this email yesterday. This email comes in from somebody else. This is a different person now, okay? We get this email from an anonymous source, okay? Here, 1 second, Brian. I got to bring you up on the old screen here. I fucked it up. Here we go. And there we go. All right. So I get this anonymous email that says, "Hello, Bridie and Jeremy. Happy New Year." So
happy new year.
That's not what they wrote. No. The title of this is "Eargasm: My Experience." Okay, so this is somebody else's experience. So happy New Year. So I use a face massager when I have migraines. I don't know what that is. Maybe you can fill me in after. And the other day I was using it on my temples, and it started to affect my ear. And I tell you, it felt exactly like the buildup to an orgasm. What the fuck is going on, people? It was super fucking weird, but like, I get what the other listeners are saying. It's also the same feeling I get when I put a finger in my ear to wiggle it around when it hurts. So maybe, just maybe, there's something to the nerves in our genitals and the nerves in our ears responding to stimulus the same way in our brains. Keep up the good work and stay safe. Believe that meant stay safe. So listen, here's what I propose, Brad. I mean, I'm putting it out there right now to our listeners, because I know we have a fair amount of listeners. I don't know what our demographic is. I know that it's it's probably a good mix of like people who are just love to be freaky, people who love to just like shoot the shit and hang out. But like, I don't know what our what our demo is, like, who, you know, what do you guys do for a living? It's just like, it's, you know, teacher, it's anything, anybody, regular people, your postman listens to us. Your children's kindergarten teacher listens to us. I don't know how many doctors listen to us, but I do know this. We have a buttload of physicians. You name the type of physician, they listen to Sick Boy Podcast. If you're not familiar, this is the other podcast that I host, that currently is being broadcast over CBC. I'm taking these emails to Sick Boy, and I'm putting it out there to our listeners over there to get to the bottom of what the fuck is going on with this eargasm stuff.
I mean, there's obviously some sort of connection there, right? Because the scalp, there's so many nerve endings in the scalp, and your ear is like, probably technically not part of your scalp, but it feels just as sensitive.
I love doing it. Like, I do that all the time. I take my finger, my pinky finger, and I ram it into my ear hole, and I go like, you know, I don't know if you can hear this, but I go. You hear that?
I can't hear it now.
You can't hear it? Okay, well.
No, but that's because I need to get my ears checked, because I'm not hearing very well.
Are you orgasming okay?
Yeah.
Can deaf people orgasm?
Of course they can.
Okay, well, I'm trying to just, hey, look, I'm throwing anything at the wall and seeing what sticks, because I don't know what the fuck is going on here with this eargasm stuff. I had no idea. I had no idea that there was like some sort of connect between ears and, specifically, it seems, ears and gasms with people who own vaginas, because we haven't had any, I can do that with my ear and it feels good, but we haven't had anybody write in to be like, hey, when I do this, my dick gets real swollen. Like it's all been like vaginal stimulation based on ear fuckery.
Right.
It's driving me crazy. I've been Googling it. Can't find a goddamn thing.
You know, someone out there is like fantasizing about like, you know, having their ear hairs just gently stroked, because that would for sure produce like nerve stuff.
So
this or is like a penis in an ear.
Somebody's
really thought a lot about that.
There's definitely people who have fucked ear holes for sure. It's funny because like I've been thinking about these emails, and I was having sex with my partner yesterday, and I was like, you know, it's like still new relationship energy kind of thing. I'm still exploring like what are the buttons that like Leah likes having pushed and like what feels good for her. But you know, like I want to know all the things. So I was like, maybe I can incorporate some of this eargasm stuff into our sex life. And so like while we were having while we were making passionate love, I started to like focus on her ear with my mouth, which is not something I've done that before. That's kind of like when you're in missionary, it's like your face is right by the ear. So it's like, why not?
Yeah. You might as well just
why not lick it or suck it or something.
Yeah.
Nibble on it. So, but I've never actually like put I've never put a full earlobe in my mouth and started like sucking on it. And I started doing that in the middle of sex, and it was like almost immediate. There was this like reaction of like,
don't fucking do that.
That fucking tickles way too much.
Oh yeah.
For this to be a thing. But the tickliness, I thought to myself, I don't know. This is really plaguing my mind. Cause then after we had sex, I was like, I wonder if you're more ticklish in your ears, if that means you're more sensitive in the ears and like the nerves in the ears. And then is that sensitivity linked to the brain, which links to the vulva? Like it's fucking, I can't stop thinking about eargasms.
Yeah. I wonder if there's something, cause you know, like if the neurons around, like if the neurons for ear scratching are like right next to the neurons for like vaginal stimulation.
Right. Is that how the brain
then
works?
Maybe,
is that how it works?
Well, actually, I mean, I don't know a ton, but our friend Lisa, the neuroscientist, would know the answer to this. But the brain creates a map of your body on the brain. And it's not necessarily shaped like a human body, but different parts of the brain are generally responsible for like, I think sensations in different parts of the body.
Whoa. Maybe I wasn't Googling hard enough. But apparently, and I did know this, but the erogenous zones could lead to orgasm for some people if they're sensitive enough. Erogenous zone orgasms are achieved exclusively through a lot of experimentation. You may be able to orgasm from kisses on your neck, teeth, on your nipples. I know the nipples one. I know people that can orgasm from nipple play, or fingers on the inside of your elbow. What the fuck? Fingers on the inside of your elbow. What the fuck does that mean?
The eye of your elbow, right there.
The eye of your fingering in the eye of the elbow? Wow. The best way to find your erogenous zones is to use a feather or another light external object and take note of where you feel the most pleasure. Wow, man.
Great. Fuck. That's a great idea.
Okay, cool. Sure. Great idea. Very interesting. Still, guys, if you're out there, if you're listening, I'm going to do this on Sick Boy too, but if you're out there and you know anything about this, I want to know the science behind these
eargasms.
These anecdotes that we're getting in email of people like almost coming from Q-tipping their ears, which also your ears. You shouldn't be doing that.
Yeah. So basically what you want to know is the science of erogenous zones, because is obviously an erogenous zone for her.
Yeah, I guess so.
For them.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, how does that work? Right? Like, I guess that is. Yeah, yeah.
Please hold. I need to write this down.
Yeah, right. Please.
I'm writing it down.
All right, cool. Well, that's we can move on from that. That's fun. I'm excited to figure this out and to bring this to the world of CBC. see if we can figure it out through that channel. But there's another thing that I wanted to talk about, which got me really excited, that you put me on to, Bridie. And it's I kind of want to get your thoughts on this, but there's a new Danish children's television show called John Dillermand, which translates to John Wienerman. And it is it's a full-on animated, stop-motion animation, animated children's television show. here, let's just, we're going to watch the... We're going to watch fantastic. The intro to the show. If you're listening to this, you'll just hear a bunch of Danish singing. But if you if you want to see this, you can either Google it or join us on Patreon, patreon.com/termion.
Can you do some descriptive?
Sure. Yeah, sure.
Voiceover?
Yeah, why not? All right, here we go. So you got this guy, John Dillermand, and he's going around town doing good deeds for the folks in his town with his extremely long magical penis. And this is not a joke. So again, John Dillermand, which translates to John Wienerman, has a magical penis that is capable of stretching great lengths, kind of like Inspector Gadget's arms.
Good analogy.
So it seems that it has like infinite length reach of extension and retraction on command. And so, you know, you might be, again, if you didn't watch the trailer there on our Patreon, you might be wondering like what kind of good deeds could a fully grown adult do with his magical penis? Well, in the episodes that I've watched, he uses his penis in like these really clever ways in order to, you know, achieve things throughout his day or to do good deeds. So, for example, some kids lose their balloons in a tree. And so John thinks, hey, I got this magical penis. I can get those balloons out of the tree for these children. And so he like snakes his big long cock all the way up and grabs the balloons out of the tree, brings it down, then gives it to the children. Or another thing was like he was taking these dogs for a walk and they were being really bad, naughty dogs. And they were rowdy and they were kind of pulling him around. But while he was walking the dogs, he was trying to pick up something for his meemaw. And, you know, it was like at a bakery and the dogs were too rowdy. He couldn't go into the bakery because he had the dogs in his hand and the dogs wanted to go to the, you know, to sniff and pee on the pole across the street, but he needed to go into the bakery. So what he did was he takes the leash with his long magical penis and is able to extend that thing, let it go. So the dogs can go play over by the pole and he can walk into the bakery, grab the goods and come out. So like, you know, just clever ways to use your magical penis is basically what the show is about.
One thing you haven't mentioned is that what he's wearing looks like a 1930s bathing costume or like a wrestler's.
No, like a strongman. It's like a strongman suit from the circus or something, right? Like,
His penis comes out, it's also dressed.
Yeah.
In the same. It's a continuation of the same. Red and white stripes.
Red and white stripes, like Where's Waldo? Very Where's Waldo esque.
Yeah.
And it's made of some sort of magical spandex, obviously, because it just continuously stretches and keeps the design of the stripes perfectly. So this is not a fucking joke. This is a legit show that has come out in
Denmark.
Denmark. It's a Dutch show. Is Denmark? Is that?
It's a Dan. Wow, it's a Danish show.
Oh, it's a Danish show. Okay.
Yeah.
And there's, I mean, obviously, there's some like controversy behind it. I haven't looked too much into the controversy because I don't fucking care.
Oh, can
like,
I please
I love
read
it.
You this?
Yeah,
can I
sure,
please. Redo this article? Because you won't be bringing it to CBC. CBC is well aware.
CBC, oh, yeah, no. CBC knows this shit. They put in an article about this.
January 7th. Okay. So the headline is, Danish kids show about man with magic penis is innocent and goofy, says TV critic. John Dillermand, which roughly translates to John Wienerman, is sparking controversy in Denmark. A children's TV show about a man whose unnaturally long and magic penis gets him into all sorts of trouble is very Danish and nothing to fret over, says a TV critic who watched every episode. The claymation show John Dillermand, which airs on the Danish public broadcaster, is aimed at children ages 4 through 8. So far, it's proved popular, but according to The Guardian, it's also causing a stir in the country among those who think it's inappropriate for young people or that it sends a wrong message in the Me Too era. But Ida Rudd, a freelance film and TV critic, has seen every episode of John Dillermand and says it's just good, silly fun. Here is part of her conversation with As It Happened host Carol Off.
I love Carol Off so much.
Me too. So imagine her voice. I cannot compare. How on earth does a TV show for preschoolers about a man who cannot control his magic penis even get past the pitch stage? I think it's a very Danish way of making children television where there's kind of no rules as long as no one is getting hurt. And if it's silly, also, I mean, that's just the plus. People were just like, this is courageous and silly, so why not do it? I mean, it's totally innocent and goofy. And very Danish, as you say. It's very Danish. We're kind of laid back in some ways and also like to have like a dark sense of humor and also like to cause a bit of an uproar. So, of course, I don't think anyone is surprised that this show caused an outrage, but maybe the criticism that it was so huge was a bit of a surprise. And Carol Off says, and speaking of huge, this is the issue, right? Do you not want me to continue? You were going
to say something. No, keep going.
Can you describe this character? First of all, his name is John Dillermand, the character in the show, and this is a cartoon. What does that mean? And the TV critic says, like a childish term for penis with the man attached, so Wiener Man. So the name itself is enough to make children laugh because anytime you say Wiener, it's funny.
It is. It's funny every time.
He lives with his great-grandmother, who's this old, conservative, a bit scared lady. Like, put that away, John. You can't go showing your penis. You can't use that to pick apples. You can't use that to walk the dog. But the penis has a mind of its own. If you don't understand the language and you just saw, like, a trailer for the show, I don't think you would know it was a penis. You would think it was a tail of some sort because it's just red and white stripes, like his bathing suit. And it's just very long, slim tail. There's no scrotum. There's no pubic hair. There's nothing realistic about this penis.
Yeah, there's no head. Short. Nothing like that. No.
It's short and long, and sometimes you can't see it. And it can pick the apples from the tree and pick up the neighbor if he's being a pain in the butt. Carol Off says, but the penis gets him into trouble from time to time, doesn't it? She says, for instance, the penis wants an ice cream. And the great-grandmother says, no, you can't take an ice cream. And then they go to the zoo and it sees an ice cream truck and it steals an ice cream. And because of this, a lion gets out and chases the children around. And John is about to say, oh, I can't handle this. I'll just go away and leave it to someone else. But then he's like, no, I have to handle this. I have to take care of this problem. And then the penis is slapping the lion, so it goes back in. It goes on and on. I want to read the whole thing. It's so funny. It sounds hilarious.
I mean, I would suggest going to listen to the interview on the website. Carol Hoff's so amazing, and also this just sounds so funny. But one thing that I do want to say is that Danish humor, like it is. So there's this movie that I watched a number of years ago called Clown, but it's spelled K-L-O-V-N. And it's basically, it's based off a television show that was a Danish television show called of the same name. And it's basically like, it's the Danish version of Curb Your Enthusiasm, essentially.
Oh.
This sort of like uncouth character who's like he's like a, just past middle age, And like his like social inept abilities in his like social circle, and he's kind of an idiot, and you know, very much like Larry David in Curb Your Enthusiasm. So like, if you like Curb Your Enthusiasm, you'll love this show. But the movie is fucking hilarious, but it's also really kind of like uncomfortable humor, you know. And also Lars von Trier, if anyone knows of Lars von Trier, the film director, you know, super fucking dark shit. But if there's ever humor in his films, it's very uncomfortable, dark humor. So this seems very like it makes a lot of sense. It kind of seems in line for what the Danish are like. Which I don't know a whole lot about, but it's making me like, it's inspiring me to do a little bit more digging into Danish film and television, because all of that stuff is right up my alley. I love Lars von Trier. I thought that movie Clown was fucking hilarious. I mean, I've watched two full episodes of John Wiener Man, and they're great. I've fucking scoured the internet, cannot find it with English subtitles, but you don't need it. You just listen to them going like Luton Florden Hudenhaver, and you know, but you don't need to know what they're saying. It's made for children, so like you really pick up what's going on pretty easily. Fuck, it's so good though. I love it. Anyway,
yeah, I think it's really nice to see things like that, first of all on TV, but then like to be talked about in the news here.
Oh, so great.
By, you know, it's just, it's lovely.
And this is also something that we talked about on Sick Boy last week. This show is making headlines in the same week that the headlines about Caillou, Canadian television, kids television show, gets canceled. They're not renewing it for another season. And parents are rejoicing because
how long has it been running?
Like 20 years, like a long,
no.
Yeah. 20 years. Yeah.
Caillou.
Yeah.
I don't know
how you and parents are that. Fucking like parents took to Twitter and they were elated because everybody hates that evil, whiny piece of shit kid. I think we need more John Dillerman. You know,
wouldn't that be something? You should bring that to the CBC. Let's see what they say.
I don't know. I mean, we are living in a time where, I don't know. Problematic to have a man walking around town using his penis to do good deeds. I get it. I get why some people don't appreciate the idea, but also it's pretty fucking great. Like you got it. It's very silly and very fun. And it's you know, it's got heart. It's got a lot of heart. It's got a lot
you
of
know,
heart.
In this article, this is really interesting. I want to read this part. So the host says, but this is not the first time Denmark's public broadcaster has made a show with controversial children's show. And she said, we have a guy called Uncle Reggie who likes to play heavy metal and who at some point encouraged children to become Satanists. And people were very offended by that as well. And also with nudity, we have a show where grown-ups take their clothes off in front of children.
I've seen this.
Older than 4 to 8. But they bring school classes in and then...
Yeah.
And then people with maybe disfigurements or transgender or obese or something like that, they take off their clothes and the children are allowed to ask them anything they want.
I've watched clips from that show. It's fucking fast. So that's Danish as well?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So yeah, that show is amazing because they bring in these adults and they just get them naked. Right. And again, like that part of the world, like Europe is and Scandinavian countries. They view nudity very differently than we do over here. Over here, we are so fucking ashamed of our bodies. Whereas like you go over to any Scandinavian country, you go to Germany, go wherever, like you just fucking take your clothes off at the spa. You just get naked in the public shower. Like it's not this like weird, shameful, hypersexualized thing. Just a naked body, right? So this show, they take these grown adults. You know, maybe it's like someone who is like who is seen as like fairly overweight, and they take their clothes off and they stand in front of a like all these school children, and the children just like ask about the person's body parts. And it's like the idea behind the show is meant to stimulate body positivity, and it's meant to stimulate curiosity about the human body and how all bodies are different. And bodies come in very different shapes and sizes. And, you know, some people are differently abled and their bodies look different from other people's. And so it's, but again, you say that fucking idea here where it's like, all right, I got a kid show. All right. We're going to, it's think about, kids say the darndest things, but instead of having, I won't go down that road. Instead of having some comedian talking to kids to try to get them to say silly things, we get these kids to stand in front of a naked adult and just have them ask questions. Like that fucking, it would never happen here.
Well, you can't, I don't think you can use Kids Say the Darndest Things as an example when you're trying to pitch that show because.
No, yeah, well, that's, I mean, that show, the host of that show turned out to be just a vile, evil human being, so. That was a bad example.
Never use that in a pitch.
But but that fucking show was huge, and people were like, "Yeah, Bill Cosby, he's the best." And it's like, "Oh, well, guess what? He wasn't the best. He was actually awful."
Bill out of there
and put
the
fucking kids in, and just get a naked human in front of them. That's television.
Let's get this old rapist out of here. Just bring in any naked adult.
Yeah, that's right.
We'll be better.
Yeah. So. John Wienerman.
I love to watch that show. I am obsessed with the minds of kids when they're just completely.
I'll find it. I found it authentic on Reddit not too long ago. I'll find it and send you the link.
Okay,
It's pretty. Yeah, it's pretty worth it. All right. Well, hey, folks, listen. I'm just gonna put this out there. We're doing a live show. If you want to attend, we're doing a live show. I should have prepped for this before.
Online.
We're doing a live show online, but how do we get people to go to it? If you want to attend our live show, which I don't even know if I'm supposed to be saying this. It's a live show for Algonquin College, but I think they're opening it up to the public. And so if you want
to, we'd love to have you there.
Yeah, if you want to be a part of it, go to the link in our Instagram description, and that's where you can find your ticket, because that's the only place I can think of where we will put a link.
Oh, well, our website will be up for at least a year because we paid for it.
Oh, did we just pay for it? Yeah, we're going to take our website down too because there's no fucking point in having a website.
But we're also going to take our Instagram down. So where are we going to put these things? These are conversations we need to have.
Yeah, we shouldn't be talking about this right now. Instagram is going to take our Instagram down. But so anyway, if you want to attend that live show, just Google it. Go to our Instagram. It'll be there.
It'll be there.
Or go to my personal Instagram. I'll put it in my link in my bio.
Hey, when's the show?
It is Wednesday the 20th, so a week from today, a week from when this episode comes out.
At 6 p.m.
Eastern?
You don't know? Yeah, I think it's like 6 5 or 6 p.m. Eastern.
God, we suck. Eastern. Fuck.
Come on down.
Listen, speaking of cartoons, I am so flippin' excited for you to listen to this conversation that we had with the ever so lovely A. Andrews, author and cartoonist. Specifically, we talk about A Quick and Easy Guide to Sex and Disability, which was a little comic that A. Andrews had written and illustrated. It's fucking beautiful. If you want to see what it looks like, you can go to patreon.com/jeremyon and watch this episode. Brad, he's holding it up right there. Look at that. Looks great. A. Andrews did not only just make this, they have also made comics that focus on pronouns and other things that that relate to the LGBTQ 2+ community. So just a really great chat. Loved speaking to A, and I hope you enjoy this as much as we did, because it was really fun. So enjoy it, and we will see you on the other side. All right, here we go. sitting down with A. Andrews, I've just said your full name. I'm going to just go by A. It rolls off the tongue so nicely just to say it all together.
Alliteration.
I do love myself some alliteration.
Although I do love your website is heyandrews.com, mm-hmm. right? I thought that was really sweet when I saw that.
go for it, Bride. Yeah, you got it right there.
I'm holding your book in my hands. Are you doing a lot of speaking about this right now?
Yeah. Well, a lot of zooming about it. But it's been kind of great sitting down with folks all over the place and talking about it. It's been really fun.
So the book, just for everyone listening, is called A Quick and Easy Guide to Sex and Disability. And it's you know what? It's actually the second one of this series, The Quick and Easy Guys, that I've held in my hands. And I'm so impressed with the fact that the tone of there's something really cohesive about, at least the couple of ones that I've seen, about somehow you're all different artists and all different subjects, but they're like, I don't know, like they're, what's the word I'm looking for? Their aesthetic is very cohesive. It looks like a set of sex ed books. It's awesome.
Yeah, I would say cohesive fits the bill. There's some really great artists working on it, and none of us have really worked in tandem. It's just kind of turned out that way. I think really good editing and direction from our publisher.
Right. So I was checking out I should have written this down. Your comics, your art with what's it? It's written right in the back of this book. Just today, Auto Straddle. Is that where you kind of started your publishing experience?
Yeah, for sure. So I started with publishing just some web comics on Auto Straddle, some like slice of life about being like queer and disabled, and it kind of took off from there.
Is that sort of the subject you've always drawn about?
Yeah, I think I use art a lot to kind of just like explore themes in my life and in my story, and so I've always kind of used it to sort of navigate like all my various identities and I don't know, work out what's been going on. So Auto Straddle was really cool. I had pitched like sort of a one-off sort of comic, just like in a visual essay. And they were like, do you think that you maybe have more in you to like kind of write about different topics, different themes? And then it kind of took off from there. And it's been something I've enjoyed, so I've kind of kept with it.
What is Auto Straddle? This is the first time I've heard of it.
Yeah, Auto Straddle is really cool. I think it's the largest queer, like independent queer women's media site around. Mm-hmm. It's generally, it originally started as like a site for queer women and just like various, like, you know, there's everything from like essays to comics to fluff, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's really expanded, you know, to be a little bit more inclusive of like the fuller queer narrative, which has been really cool as well. Mm.
Cool. Sweet.
Yeah.
So, A Quick and Easy Guide to Sex and Disability. I was really excited when Bridie told me about this comic and about the fact that we were going to sit down and talk to you, because like these two things, sex and disability, are like two of my favorite things to explore with people, as somebody who loves having sex and as somebody who lives with an invisible disability. Mm-hmm. And so I want to know, like, you know, what was the impetus, like, what was the catalyst for you to decide to really, like, dig in and explore and try to educate folks around sex and disability, something that, like, is something that is obviously a topic that people who are not disabled and maybe even people who are disabled get really awkward about and don't really know how to approach. And it kind of, like, it's so, like, you know, my friend Andrew Gerzit, who's a, you know, a friend of mine who lives with cerebral palsy, who also talks a lot about sexuality. Like, when you see him talking to someone about him engaging in sex, you can almost see the person, like, short circuit and kind of malfunction, because they're going, but how? Like, how? Mm-hmm. How does this work? So what was the catalyst for you to want to create this comic to basically, in a really, like, fun and engaging way, educate and explore the world of sex and disability?
It's a good question. I mean, I think it was a little bit of a lot of things. I think, for one, you know, there's the scary elements of just, like, you know, when we don't talk about a thing, that thing can become really scary or have really, you know, problematic results. There's a lot of abuse towards disabled people. There's a lot of sex abuse in the disability community and things like that. So, you know, on the very dark end of things, there's that element to it, that if we're not having these conversations, you know, we're doing ourselves and the people that we love a disservice. Mm-hmm. So that was definitely, like, a very major part of it for me in being like, okay, this is, like, a really important conversation to have. But beyond that, I think so many conversations with disabled folks is just, like, it's so, like, medicalized and so technical and so, like, well, can you, can't you? And it's, like, very, like, ogly, you know, like, it's, let's look at this thing. Let's explore this, like, really fascinating thing. And people want to be fascinated by you, but they don't really want to know about, like, your humanity and, like, your just, like, general boring day to day.
Yeah.
Like, oh yeah, I have a sex life too. That's, like, really exciting and sometimes boring. And, like, you know, like, it's,
yeah,
I just wanted this really, fun kind of conversational piece that doesn't, like, that doesn't have this, like, grand thesis on, like, why disabled people have sex, but just, like, states definitively that it happens and that it can be, like, really fun. Like, mm-hmm. you know, like any other sex book that exists. It just, I wanted it to be something where it's like, well, of course we have sex, so here are different ways that you can navigate that if you don't already know. And so I kind of wanted to flip the script on it being super, like, technical and, like, but how will I ever get over this hurdle? And just, like, talk from the guys that if you have from the stance that if you have this information, then you're going to take with it and do what you can with it. And I do think a little part of me, you know, I write things more because I want them to exist than because I want to, like, point at a person and tell them that they need to learn a thing, really. Obviously, in writing, like, an educational book, you're hoping that somebody gets something out of it. But I think more than that, I just wanted it to, like, be on a shelf, you know, like, where somebody that's having a hard time is walking past a shelf and is like, holy cow, this exists. This is wild, you know. That was the most important part to me. But yeah, of course, like, you know, I would love it if able-bodied people picked it up and were like, oh, you know, like, I do this thing with my partner. Maybe I should ask them if they feel good about that or like if there's something I could be doing better. And I think that there's a lot more commonality between people than people really realize. So
yeah, I think, yeah, totally. You know,
all of those things kind of intertwine to make it a thing that I felt really good about doing.
Turn Me On Podcast will be back after this short break.
Mom. Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Are these the subject matter here, you know, understanding sexuality when it comes to people living with disabilities and like accessible sex? Are these things that you have are these conversations that you've had time and time and time again throughout your life? And like, what are those experiences like for you? You know, like, I know that, broaching the subject with someone about my cystic fibrosis, if they've never heard of cystic fibrosis, and I explain to them a couple of small tidbits, sometimes, again, there's that almost reaction of like, you can see them kind of tighten up and clam up and get really awkward. I'm sure you've seen the full spectrum of like reaction when it comes to having those conversations with folks. What's been A's history of exploring this topic with the people that you've surrounded yourself with?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, for me personally, definitely rocky. I think in kind of starting on my like journey and having relationships with like other people, you know, that was sort of slow and all at once. Like I would imagine that a lot of, you know, I think that's a pretty universal feeling that, you know, like, you build yourself up into like, I'm ready for relationships and intimacy. And then you're just like, whoa, and it's all there at once.
Yeah.
I think there's definitely been a good mix of like really like tough situations of being either like rejected when you're being very vulnerable, or people saying like inappropriate or hurtful things, you know? I mean, I think that there's been the broad spectrum of that. And then there's been on the other end of it, kind of growing into my own and having people that want to have those conversations with me and like seeing what that feels like as well. I've definitely gotten a lot of the face, the like aghast that you're telling me this terrible, sad thing about yourself.
Yeah, right.
And I'm like, sure. I don't know. Right. So, you know, like there's been a full spectrum of that. Mm. It kind of depends, you know, on who the person is, where they're at in their life and their communication styles and skills. It's been a lot of learning to realize, like, I think what I deserve from other people.
Yeah.
Has
those experiences, I'm one of the questions that often comes up in our podcast with guests is like, what was your sexual debut? You know, what I instead of saying like, how did you lose your virginity and what was that experience like? It's like, what was, fuck the term virginity. Like, what was your debut to the world of becoming a sexual being? And for you, like, especially with the subject that we're talking about, like how much of your disability played into that or didn't, or like had a positive or perhaps negative effect on your sexual debut?
Yeah, well, my debut was definitely messy. I think, you know, I think that I came into being like a sexual person in realizing that I was queer, for one. And that was very scary to me. I didn't really know how to talk to anyone about that. Mostly because like the concept of talking about sex at all with anybody was going to be really awkward and uncomfortable for me. Just based on the people I had in my life and the general support around my disability was very kind of strange. You know, I didn't have a ton of support, that felt really all that comfortable. And so, you know, really in kind of realizing that I was queer and kind of even rejecting that at first, I erred on the side of like really wanting to achieve some kind of quote unquote normalcy. And to like kind of prove myself that like I'm not gonna have to be a person that like makes you you don't need to worry about me. There was this like strong desire to be like as like put together and ready as possible. I think for me, like having needs at all was always felt like very extra. I think disabled people are kind of taught that when they need things, those are like special kinds of needs. Those are needs that are like an additional ask. And we're not really taught that just like everybody has varying needs and we all need certain elements of care in our relationships and our experiences with other people. And so I think in thinking about like if I thought too much about things that I really probably needed at the time, it would have felt like too much to ask of another person. Like I didn't want anybody to have to deal with my extra stuff. Which is
like was that like a feeling sad. Of like being like a burden? Like you felt like a burden? Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Like, and just very, you know, problematic and sad, you know, I mean, it's clearly it's like a lot of internalized ableism. I didn't know a lot about sex. Yeah, there was just no communication around it. And I erred on the side of just like acting like I knew what I was doing all the time. And
what a fucked up situation. Like, I mean, yeah. we've talked to so many people about the hardships of trying to navigate coming to terms with your sexuality. And, you know, like it's one thing, it's one fucking issue to try to find the way to, you know, for a lot of people to come out as queer or to even accept the fact that they are queer, especially depending on where you live and who you surround yourself with. But then like fucking layer a disability on top of that and the entire Pandora's box that is sexuality as a disabled person, like shit. that is
yeah.
That's tough. Like that's a lot. There's a lot of layers to kind of like try to dig yourself out from there, it sounds like.
Yeah, I think I think early on I had so much like internalized stuff that it was like I didn't really want my disability to be like in the bedroom with me. I didn't really want like that to be like the focus of my time spent with other people. So I felt really strongly that like my job was to like minimize that in that space and kind of tuck it away. But like, it's like very present in my body. It's like here, I'm like 2 feet tall. I, you know, I have a hard time moving. I'm very much, you know, like presently knowingly disabled and there's no hiding it, you know?
Are you actually 2 feet tall?
No. I'm very small.
The webcam gives you at least another 3 feet.
Yeah, no, I'm not 2 feet tall. I'm like a little under 5 foot.
Sure.
Sure. So I'm like roughly like 4'10", 4'11". So I was always just like very, you know, petite, very small. Yeah. You know, just didn't, it took a long time to just like feel sexual. Like I was going to be viewed as somebody who was sexual, or sexually attractive in any kind of way, you know. A lot of men making a lot of comments in bars about how I looked like a little girl.
Right. Yeah.
A lot of that. So oh yeah, and then you know, buying you a beer, which is awkward.
Yeah. Thanks. Yeah.
So, you know, it was just you know, I look back on it and I'm just like, ugh, how could I feel that way? But it's like, how could I not also, you know, like, of course, you know, it was so rocky and so odd. And when those conversations aren't happening, you just don't have any kind of viewpoint that it could be any other way.
You made a good point earlier that has been like a super huge takeaway for me in the last, I would say, year or so. Just, you know, Jeremy and I have this podcast and we're not trained sex educators either. We just kind of like to have conversations like this with people. And the thing that kind of like struck me about in your book here, you said something about how access to education and sex education could really help a lot, like prevent a lot of like sexual trauma and sexual abuse, because it gives people the tools to like talk, like communicate what's going on and know what's like good and not good and whatever. Not whatever, but you know what I mean. At what age would this have, like, we're all subject to the sex ed we get from our parents, how willing they are to like use the words of our body parts and like their own level of comfort in talking about the body. But like, at what age would your book, this book, have like changed things for you?
Oh, it's a good question. You know, I mean, I do have a personal kind of history around sexual trauma and sexual violence, and it's hard to like pinpoint an age, I guess, you know. But I do think that like when sex ed is being taught to other, you know, kids, I think like middle school age is when it definitely should be being talked about. I think that there's maybe even appropriate ways to talk about. I'm hoping that people are having conversations with their children that are a lot younger than that. But if we're talking about like consensual sex and like learning about your body and things like that, it should be when we're piquing interest or when we're wondering. I mean, that is the right time to learn what is okay and what is not okay in terms of how other people are handling you and your body. I don't know, you know, I think that the more rigid we are about what information is told to who and when and how, it's a disservice. You know, I don't think that having the information is encouraging any unwanted behavior. I think it's just providing people with an insight to understand what's coming for them in their lives. So yeah, I mean, I think when the interest is peaked and people's bodies are changing and they're experiencing like questions and feelings, like, yeah, we should be having these conversations with kids.
Yeah. This book, I felt it occurred to me earlier. I was like, I wish they just like handed this to you at like orientation of university. And then I was like, university, like this would have been super helpful in high school. And then I'm going back in my mind and going, you know, like, we got to do something about that. It's such an accessible and enjoyable and like funny read. You almost like don't even realize you're learning something new. You're just like, ah, this is another cool part about being a human being that I can like communicate about and like with some, you know, I don't know.
There's also something to be said for comic, like the art form of comics are, for people who love comics, like you know that when you sit down to like read a comic, it is a very different experience than sitting down to like, to, you know, bang out a couple of chapters of a book. Like you, it really is this like, I equate it to like playing video games, like in the sense that when I sit down to like really commit to like Cyberpunk 2077 just came out, whatever, we don't have to go into that, but like I'm playing this game that like I've been waiting for 10 years, and it's like it's a really deep story-based RPG, and so I know that I'm like going into that world and I'm gonna get lost. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna like be pulled into an environment where I am no longer here. I'm not like you really are transported, and comic books have that same kind of effect, at least for myself, and I feel like a lot of other people feel that same way, especially people who have never really, like people who have never experienced it before, picking up a comic for the first time. And if it's something that captures their attention, you know, like one of my favorite comics of all time is called Fables. And it's such an easy way to just get swept off your feet. Mm-hmm. And to retain and like gain whatever the knowledge is that exists within this book in a way that is so different than anything else. It's so unique. I really like, I just think it's such an effective tool. And yeah, Bridie, you saying that this should just be held, like if this was just handed out when I hit grade 10 and it's like, here's your welcome package, welcome to high school, and this was in it, like that would be unbelievably effective, you know, like that would just be bananas to think of the effect that would have if like in Canada every kid who hits high school gets this along with their agenda. You know what I mean? Like that's just I hope one day that we, you know, we reach a point where something like that exists for the youth of this is for the youth of tomorrow, for the youth of today, for the youth. But yeah, like it's just, I do love comics, and it is really like it is a funny and fun read. And there is like, you've created this great little world, you know, all the characters in it. They really are wonderful.
Thank you. Yeah. Comics, I think are like the coolest in that regard. I think like for me, the ability to approach hard topics is like incredible with comics. You know, you're brought into a world, it's inviting, it's comfortable. It can be, information can be shared a little bit more casually, you know, it doesn't have to be this like stiff, like stuck in a room, kind of having this conversation with your PE teacher that feels very uncomfortable.
Right.
I think the book goes into like sexual pleasure to a degree that I think for like teens and beyond, it's the most appropriate. You know, I certainly don't think it's a book for like young kids, which I think sometimes people see comics and think like, oh, this will be fine for like.
Sure. It's like, yeah.
You know, certainly there's like there are elements to it, but I think, you know, at its root, the goal was just to have it be so as visible as possible. You know, I want people to be like seen. If I'm telling you that like your body is nothing to be ashamed of and nothing to like hide away, then I want you to like know that it's fine to like not only talk about you, but to talk with you, you know? Mm. And I think for disabled folks, like people are always talking about us, you know? I don't want to read another like academic textbook about like my chronic pain and whatever, you know, like I really want something that's like, hey, you kid, you know, like that's like right directly at me and just talking to me like, doesn't this suck sometimes, you know, like I don't want the, you know, the narrative that's like they can actually do it. I want something that's just like, oh, you're having a hard time with this thing, we should chat about it.
How much, speaking of comics and art and writing, cause you illustrate this and write it, right? Like you're both the writer and illustrator. So how much of writing/illustration has, how much of those things, Jesus Christ, I'm like literally just having a little mini stroke here.
Take a breath.
Pause. how has your art and your writing played a role in your life in terms of like a therapy, or has it, you know, is there a therapeutic aspect to creating the art that you create?
Oh God. Yeah. My background's in art therapy.
Oh, fuck yeah. Sweet.
Yeah. I started writing and drawing comics and like actually putting them out. I started writing and drawing them kind of as a kid, you know, like I've always drawn, but I started putting them out there and like writing like actual stories and narratives, particularly about myself, because of a lot of the things that I asked of clients in my position. You know, I'm asking you to share your vulnerabilities. I'm asking you to like trust an artistic process to like help you work through a moment in time or work through a theme or work through whatever. And, you know, there's a power in working with someone else through that. But then there's also like something to be said about like doing it yourself and like walking the walk of what you're asking other people to do. Mm. And so like, I really wanted to like kind of explore that like vulnerable space for myself, I think, you know, and I think for me, it's been really therapeutic because it feels like, I don't know, it feels like when you finally let out a secret that you never had to keep, you know, like where you're just like finally breathing and you're like, it becomes okay the second that you say that it's okay, you know, like the second that you say out loud that it's like happening, like this is my life and I think it's fine. And other people are like, yeah. And then you're just like, oh, okay. Like,
yeah, right.
You know, and so I think that there's been a real power in being able to talk about like my experiences and like put that somewhere. That's really done a lot for me, especially I think having this kind of background in a lot of like ableist views about myself. Moving into a point when I'm now like in my 30s and I can look at all of the messaging that I was taught and work towards like teaching myself better messages, but also helping people to know maybe a little bit sooner that there are that there are better things out there for them to be absorbing about themselves.
Do you think that like if you didn't have this background in art therapy, do you think you still would have? I mean, this is like such hypothetical and speculation, but like, do you think you still would have found yourself in this at this point where you're creating educational comics like this that also kind of tie into your own well-being and your own therapy and your own voice?
I don't know. I don't know in terms of like creating, you know, like where I would be in my like life trajectory of what I was making. I know that I would be creating. I don't know theme-wise. I do think that like personally and within my own identity, I have a lot of faith that I would have gotten to this point anyway, regardless. There's like so much content out in the world now and there's so many like activists and advocates and people doing this kind of work that it's like, you know, I'm ultimately a fly on the wall too. You know, like I'm like one tiny book in a world and a sea of, sure, of content that's being created. So I do think that like on a personal level, I would have gotten here in my own process and navigating things, but creativity wise, I think that a lot of my path was really dependent on the step that I took before. So I think that art therapy really built a lot of that into me, at least the focus for sure.
I noticed that you have on your website a couple of other projects that you started this year. Is that the case?
Oh yeah, I love to start projects. it's the last 30% that kills me. they're going along fairly sluggishly, but I've been trying to write some kind of like fictionalized like shorts, I guess. And then I've worked on a few different projects. I'm working on one with the Minnesota Department of Health, which isn't on the website yet, but it's for COVID information for queer folks and like at-risk communities. And so that's kind of coming out soon. And then I did a project with with Visual Aids New York City. And we did, I worked with my friend Jay to do like a story on HIV care and just kind of the inequity in finding like an easy, nice, neat solution to HIV care.
Cool. Very cool. Yeah. Do you mind telling our listeners where they can find you, where they can kind of keep up to date with the cool shit that you're up to?
Yeah. So my website is heyandrews.com. And that kind of has, you know, like contact information. It's got little blurbs and about me's and information on buying the book and different things like that. I'm also on social media. Talking shit. I can be found on Twitter and Instagram primarily. And my username is _ANANghost.
Sweet. Hey, this has been a real treat and pleasure to be able to sit down and shoot the shit with you and to hear about your art and where it comes from and how it plays a role in your life. And I want to just say on behalf of myself, and I'll speak for you, Bridie, and I'll speak on behalf of all of our listeners. This has been really fun. So thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Okie dokie, there we go. That was our conversation with A. Andrews, and it was great. Loved it.
Yeah, well, I really enjoyed that conversation a lot. I wanted to just direct people again to their website, Hey Andrew.
Hey Andrews. That's
.com.
H-E-Y Andrews.com. Yeah, go check it out. You can see their artwork.
Their projects. And
Yeah, lots of great stuff. If you love comic books, you'll definitely worth checking out. Cool.
I don't know why, but I was really surprised at how sexy this book was. I've been getting a lot of books in the mail lately from people who are going to maybe be on the show. And so I've been reading, I got one that I'm super excited about for an upcoming guest. Their recent book called it's called Tell Me What You Want by Justin Lee Miller. That's the one I'm reading this week. But back to A. Andrews' book, I was like, a lot of the books are very sexy. And I think I was expecting this one to be like more of a manual, but it actually stimulated the same sort of.
That's fun. Response. That's really fun. Mm-hmm. And also you learn. You learn about, again, we were talking about it earlier, you learn about differently abled bodies and how differently abled bodies are no different than you and I. We all crave the same things, and we all enjoy pleasure and just sometimes looks a little different for some folks. Cool. Well, thank you for tuning in again. If you know what the fuck's going on with eargasms, hit us up, turnmeonpodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear it. If you want to apply to be on the show, turnmeonpodcast@gmail.com. Send us an email. If you want to send in a brain boner, turnmeonpodcast@gmail.com. And if you want to watch our foreplay segments, you can check it out at patreon.com/turnmeon.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, baby.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
No, thank you.
That is it for this week. Until next week.
We love you.
And go fuck yourself.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.